And we're back. At least Walt and I are back, and Mark Veith is with us, and Jim Hurst is expected and may show up. We hope he will. But Mark, one of the things we had hoped to do was talk with a Christian nationalist. Would you describe yourself as that, or if not, how would you describe your view on what the relationship ought to be between Christianity and our government?
I would say I'm a Christian because I'm a follower of Jesus. I would say I am a nationalist because when I was 18, I joined the military. I spent 29 years with them and then went on to other federal service, so 38 years of federal service time.
Okay. Jesus, to me, I was raised believing all that. I don't anymore, but I still think the words of Jesus are pretty wonderful. A lot of people focus on what I think is his main message, which is a kind of gentleness, tolerance, humility, thinking of the other person, welcoming the stranger, treating the poorest among us as we would treat the king. And a lot of other people have some other idea and use it for mostly intolerance. Where do you fit in that spectrum?
So you were 100% right on what you said. However, people forget about Jesus made a whip out of rope and drove the money changers out of the temple. He basically summed up the Ten Commandments in two commandments: love God with all your heart, strength, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself, the golden rule. That's where
The one time he developed a whip was to get rid of the money changers, the greedy ones, the capitalists.
I don't know that I would call them capitalists. I would say they were extortionists.
Yeah. But, I mean, he certainly didn't treat a prostitute that way. He talked with her and, tried to tell her what he tried to tell everybody, right?
Right.
When you look at Donald Trump, does it worry you that he's so clearly not Christian in his conduct?
And it looks like Jim is coming in. He'll be joining us here in just a minute. But, go ahead.
So I would say that he is leaning that way, but you're correct. He isn't a follower of Jesus.
I think the larger issue is how does faith and government mix? Should faith and government mix? What role does faith have in leading government officials? And how does that work in a nation where we are, by our creation, opening to multiple beliefs? And you're handing me something that the listeners of our station aren't going to be able to. You're handing me quotes, but
we would have to read.
And I'm not asking you about history. I'm asking you about today. How does it work today?
I mean, you could find quotes from Washington that say God's important, and from Jefferson saying sort of the opposite.
You can.
But how do you feel at the? It's now a long time afterward. How do you feel about what Walt was asking? What should the relationship be between, if any, between Christianity and government in our country?
So we've talked about Christianity already. Christianity also is a way of governing people. Because you're using or you're wanting your people to be like Jesus, because then you have people that are easy to get along with. They work for their brothers. And right now on the left, we see everybody going, it's me, 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 me. We saw quite a bit of that yesterday in the county.
I don't think there's a me, me, me beyond, more than Donald Trump.
Well, okay. But nonetheless,
go ahead.
It's, you know, self-worth, self, what's the other? They're always talking about self, self, self.
But I guess my
about,
question
it's
is,
not about the whole anymore.
I understand how Christian values and Christian beliefs help leaders make their decisions. I get that part. What I'm asking is, where is the tolerance for other beliefs, and how do we ensure that, or should we ensure that those people feel equally a part of our government and a part of our nation?
So when you say other beliefs, are we including Islam in that?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say all the organized religions.
And atheists?
Well, and Buddhists.
Let's go with Islam right now.
Okay.
Islam is the largest transporter, pusher of terrorism. If you look in the United States, we've had multiple terrorist attacks.
So what does that mean for a Muslim person living in America?
It means that our founding fathers did not foresee them moving in. If you look at the Quran, their mission is to take over everything.
Isn't that true with all religions?
I wouldn't say that for Christianity. Jesus never pushed.
The missionaries who went all over the world?
Yes,
Jesus
you're true.
Didn't, but the churches formed in his
yes,
name.
Yes, and sure so did. We can get to, Jesus said, in the end times, there will be many say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do this and this and this in your name? And Jesus will say, leave me, for I never knew you. So that's saying that there's people that will wave the Christian flag,
sure,
but they're not Christians.
Yep, I understand.
And because of that, especially the Middle Ages and the Crusades, Christianity got a really bad name. You can't find a Jew that say he's a Christian. He'll say, I'm a follower of the Messiah, but he will not say he's a Christian because of what happened to that country during the Middle Ages.
Yeah. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. I thought I remembered where this place was but I was mistaken.
Well, welcome.
Sorry. I did a drive-by yesterday to make sure I
got here. We're tucked away.
Well, you hadn't been here before. And you're also a very cautious, careful person. I'm not saying you're not, Jim. But you talked about the founders. What do you make of the fact that they were very clear not only that they didn't want any kings, but that they didn't want establishment of religion. They wanted it equally open to all religions, even though probably a majority of them were more Christian.
I would ask you to show me where they're making it equal to all religions.
Well, the establishment clause, there'll be no established religion, which has certainly been interpreted to mean the government should treat them all neutral.
I don't know that the interpretation was what the founding fathers wanted.
Well, Jefferson certainly would have. Now, maybe some others would not.
Jefferson definitely was very, very cautious of, and you read his writing to, was it Danbury?
Danbury Baptist, letter to the Danbury Baptist, yeah.
There's another one. I think it's the other one, though. Anyway, it put in there, and you have to read it carefully because I don't know why they wrote in the, it's like, I wouldn't do this instead of just clearly stating it. But he says in that letter, I am not going to endorse this because if the president endorses it, people will say, well, the president's doing it, so I should do it.
Right.
He didn't come out and say.
He wasn't the president, when they formed the Constitution.
He was not.
I know what he's referring to. Jefferson wrote a commentary on why he didn't make any. Oh, thank you.
You got to be nearer to the mic.
Jefferson wrote a commentary on why he didn't declare a national day of prayer. He thought that a declaration of prayer would be an establishment
that
of
is,
religion.
That is what I'm talking
he
about.
Recognized,
thank you.
He recognized that right. the precedent before him was for national days of prayer, but he didn't do it.
Let me ask you this. If you, you know, aside from what our Constitution says, if you could decide how we're going to run things, would you have there be a formal difference between, you know, would you allow Muslims, for example, to run for office?
I would ban Islam.
Okay. You would ban the religion.
I would ban the religion because okay. if you look in there, there are multiple things about violence. They encourage violence.
Okay.
And that
but
is
have
not.
You ever, have you ever
have
read
you looked
the,
at the Old
read,
Testament?
Yeah, have you read the Old
well,
Testament?
Yes, I have.
And more than I have, trust me.
I mean, we spent some time in a monastery, yes. and then when they would do the Psalms and that kind of thing, it was all about smite my enemy and his children and cows for 10 generations. You know, yeah, okay. I know you would, but. There's certainly an awful lot of violence there.
The point is that religion has violence. Has yes.
Okay, so let's look at and David. David was a warrior. Mm-hmm. The Bible even says that when they entered the Promised Land, that God left behind, and I can't remember what people it was—the Philistines right. or the Canaanites—so that Israel could maintain proficiency in warfare.
Right.
Because we live in a fallen world, we are right. always going to have warfare.
That's my point.
We're always going to have warfare. But he used that nation to get rid of really, really pagan nations that were killing their children.
In your heart, how do you harmonize the hatred and violence of the Old Testament with the gentleness of Jesus Christ? You know, the words that we're told he said, obviously nobody really knows, but the words that we're told he said and the things that he did, yeah, you say he did chase the money changers out of the temple, but other than that, you don't see him doing violent things. How do you harmonize those two?
So Paul says that the reason that the law was written was so that we could see that we were imperfect people.
Okay. That's true.
And that includes violence.
We can agree on that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, laws are written throughout time because you have to have some kind of order and you have to have boundaries. And
you got a caller.
We do have a caller, which means we're all going to have to put our headphones on. Oh.
Okay.
And
good morning.
Good morning.
Please,
can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Please go ahead and make your point.
Good. Our guest, who describes himself as a Christian and a nationalist, I wonder if he describes himself as a Christian nationalist in the contemporary meaning of that phrase, and what are his opinions on the introduction and implementation of Project 2025 and the Seven Mountains Mandate?
So the first question is easy. Would you call yourself a Christian nationalist as people use that phrase these days?
No.
Okay. How would you distinguish yourself from that?
Well, in that meeting that was at the library, I would say it was, if they would have brought it forward as white supremacists, or something like that, I would have stood behind those guys. I would have been with them.
So you're not a white supremacist?
I'm not into that.
But you are?
My father was in a black regiment in World War II, and he never said anything but good things about his men. So I grew up without prejudice as far as skin color. I grew up in Albuquerque in a white, black, and Hispanic neighborhood.
And the second part of the question, and you may not, you looked like you might not have read much of Project 2025. Okay, then we won't ask you to.
Idea what he's
discuss
talking
about. It's basically a document that was written that was a blueprint for the second Trump administration, and it had some things in it that some of us would loathe that didn't seem to comport with the Constitution. But we won't ask you about it.
I want to get back to, and thanks for the call, caller, but your point about, so there we have millions of Muslim people living here now.
We do.
Do you want to deport all of them? Do you want to allow them to stay here and not be able to practice their religion?
Yes.
So you want to tell people that they can't practice their religion privately in their home?
It's not, no.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay. So what? How is this going to work? What do they cross the line when they...
No mosques.
Okay.
And if you look at what a mosque really is, well, first of all, Islam isn't a religion. It's an ideology because it includes government. This is how things are going to be run. And if you look in the Quran, it's got all kinds of violence. If the infidels don't do this, then... You do what you got to do to make them submit.
But you read that and you see that as the headline item, whereas you look at the Christian violence, the Old Testament at least, and that's sort of okay.
So let's finish up with the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So Paul said it was there to show us that we were imperfect people.
Okay.
All right? So... When you look at it, there's murder in there, and there's also lying in there. Now, all of us would say that murder is way above lying, right? We would make a thing that say
it's we lie
it's
every
not,
day,
right? We lie every day, not a big thing, but murdering somebody every day, we don't do that, and it's something that we pretty much don't look forward to doing. So, to God, though, it's all sin, and He doesn't have it on a scale. So his eyes of looking at things are different from our eyes of looking at things. How do you know? Because if you read the Bible enough, you can see that he doesn't distinguish between this sin and this sin. Okay, how do I know? David committed covetousness, he committed adultery, and he committed murder. And God said, he's a man after my own heart. Because when he was confronted with that... He repented. Right to God. God, I sinned against you and you alone.
So basically, the fact that you repent wipes it out, which is good. I think that's great.
We have a forgiving
but
God.
But it doesn't. But he's not necessarily saying that murder and lying are equal.
No, but he let somebody off with murder. So if he's letting this guy go with murder, he's certainly going to let him go for lying.
But don't we know from our everyday lives that there is a scale? All things are not equally bad.
To us.
Right.
But God may see it differently.
Okay, well. That's why I'm having a hard time. We have a scale, but I
wouldn't put God in.
And we need a scale, right?
Right.
We should. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Let's get back to the, and by the way, I've been in mosques, and I would not agree with your characterization of them as necessarily places of hatred, primarily. But let's leave that aside. How would you treat the Muslims? You wouldn't let them practice, at least no mosques. A couple of questions. How would you punish them if they disobeyed? And would you okay the same kind of rule in Iran if they said no churches?
So let's go back to if they are – go back to the terrorism, okay? We can all say that we've seen terrorism in this country.
Sure.
Muslims doing it. Okay.
Wait a minute.
But terrorism is
in the eye of the beholder. The Jews committed worse terrorism to get where they are. But, because they were Zionists, it's applauded. And I'm not taking issue with either. But, I would say
terrorism,
one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter.
The Jews, they blew up hotels in the British hotels. They did all kinds of things. I mean, they applauded in their history as the Islamic, as Iran would applaud what it's doing that we consider terrorism, and you may applaud what Donald Trump's doing that the Iranians consider terrorism.
I'm not going to go on the war thing.
Do you think the war is a great idea?
I don't know that it's a great idea, but Iran is the largest supporter of terrorism in the world.
After us.
And I want to get off the war, too, because that's not why we asked you here. Okay. Let me ask you, let's get beyond the Muslims.
How many people have we blown up in cars? Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, well, thank you. I was content to sit and listen because Mark makes a better argument for my cause than I can. Religion tells people they know the mind of God. And once you attribute a thought to God, it becomes indisputable. And it also demands whatever sacrifice may be necessary from yourself and from others. David sinned against Uriah. He killed him because he didn't want to admit he had relations with his wife. And one can argue whether or not Bathsheba was a willing participant. And you look at the Bible, and Jesus is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That dude is not going to stay in his place. He is going to be political, and there's no way around it. Once you speak for God, no one can argue with you, and you resort to force to exercise your will, which you think is his. And that's the history of humanity and religion. It usually results in violence. It usually results in one group taking charge over another, and it's never settled.
So we had a discussion going in a parking lot. That's usually where we have our discussions. And Jim said that if man was going to have a religion, then you're probably going to have to help me out with this. That
he would make
something. I'm just trying to. I don't remember exactly what your words are, so you would be better at this. That man would make a religion that works for him. And God is angry with us, or?
Well, let me state my idea. Christian nationalism is endemic to all religion. As an atheist, I think religion is something we make up, and we wouldn't bother to make up a religion if it didn't serve us.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right.
So
absolutely right.
So you have no trouble saying that Islam is a religion made by men to serve their own interest. And I submit to you Christianity is as well. And I believe the American tribal religions were the same.
Same God, just by different names and with different views of him?
No.
I mean, historically it is.
No.
No. I think we all disagree with you on that one.
Even if it's the same God, he's understood in different ways.
Yeah.
So Christians and Muslims can only agree that God doesn't mind killing people to get his way. That's what we agree. And
can I just steer this because we got 5 minutes left? I think the bigger issue, we got off on Muslims, I think the bigger issue is people of no faith and what rights do they have? If you're sending your child to school in Oklahoma, and do they have to have the Ten Commandments on the wall, whether they want it or not? I mean, how do we bridge that gap? I think there's no question.
What's the problem with having Ten Commandments on the wall?
It's an imposition of religion.
Correct.
It's the state telling people what their thoughts ought to be. The Ten Commandments say, I should worship God and have no other God before him. That's a state declaration that I ought to be a Christian or that I ought to be a Jew or something, but it's the state telling me what to believe about God. I have no interest in what the state thinks I ought to believe about God.
It's not telling you to believe in God. It's giving you some good, solid.
So you would not be okay with passages from the Quran being up there?
If they were
positive
passages.
Okay. So you can't have a mosque, but you could put passages from the Quran up at
school? If they are positive passages, are you going to put the ones up there about violence?
Of course not.
So you're saying there are positive things about the religion?
There are some in the book. Okay. Sure. Every book's going to have something positive. I mean, there's a thing of... So the Ephesians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, somebody's done a spinoff on that, and it says, I can do all things through a text or a verse taken out of context. So you can do anything you want with the Bible by cutting mm-hmm. and pasting.
I agree.
As you can do with video clips of Bush or Trump or whatever and make them look like a total buffoon.
Which is exactly why we can't be governed by
caller.
The Bible.
We'll be very quick because we're running out of time. Yes, caller.
I just wanted to comment on the fact that, yes, there are a huge religion, Islam, but if all those people were terrorists, then we'd be seeing terrorist attacks all the time.
They're not all terrorists.
So, yeah, okay. But it seems like that's what you were saying, that they're all terrorists.
No,
he just said they are the biggest pusher of... let me ask...
Exporter of terrorism.
Yeah. Let me ask another quick question. How do you view the legal rights of people who behave in a way that a lot of Christians don't approve of? Gay folks, for example, or people who have had abortions. Aside from whether or not you think abortion should be legal, if somebody has done those things, should that person or... Yeah, believes differently from you, should they have equal rights?
How many states had sodomy laws?
Had.
Most. And maybe still have.
Yeah.
A lot of them did, but they also had laws against adultery, and they had laws against women having their own bank accounts.
So why is it okay now?
Well, why is it okay now for women to have their own bank accounts?
Adultery. There was actually laws that women can't have bank accounts.
Yeah.
Most states...
Okay. Couldn't sign contracts.
Most states into the 40s, probably.
Okay.
At least into the 20th century.
1 minute.
We'll have you back again. Tell us in a sentence or two, have you enjoyed your visit with us?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to finish what Jim and I were talking about in the parking lot there, because I didn't really get to finish that up. But
We'll come back and do it in another. Yeah. We have other guests that are already here waiting. Okay. We need to take a short break. But thank you, Mark, and thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
And we will do this again soon.